David Callett is the author of A Critical History of the Godzilla Series. With the help of some editors of Godzilla fanzines, he explains what Godzilla is really all about.
One of the things that drew me into studying Godzilla movies was the curiosity that I had for why it would be that now we've got the better part of 50 years, during which time Japanese filmmakers have been making a killing, selling to Japanese audiences the continued repetition of scenes of Japan being destroyed.
There's a tradition in the new Godzilla movies that when some new fantastic building goes up in Japan, the first thing that happens is Godzilla comes to destroy it.
Godzilla is unstoppable and strikes without warning.
It is very primal.
He comes in, he knocks over the buildings, and then he burns it all down.
With his radioactive fire breath.
With his radioactive fire breath.
Godzilla was in part a reflection of the nuclear fear in Japan.
It is my belief that Godzilla was resurrected due to the repeated experiments of H-bombs.
Ishiro Honda, the director, had been involved in the armed forces, and he, after the war, he had visited Hiroshima to see the devastation, and he was keenly aware that he wanted to transmit these images to the world.
To the extent that Japanese popular culture might have wanted to work through the horrors of war and what went on in World War II and what went on with the bombings, they hadn't been able to up until this point.
There was a very strict censorship imposed by the occupying forces.
During the American occupation, right after World War II, the United States military was censoring Japanese films. So by the time you get to 1954, there's this tremendous pent-up cultural baggage of what had been going on that hadn't yet been given a voice in popular culture.
While I was unaware of it at the time, 10,000 feet below, an incident was about to take place that would shake the foundations of the civilized world.
In March of 1954, the United States tested the first H-bomb in the Bikini Islands.
Some fishermen were out on the ocean in a fishing boat,
ironically called the Lucky Dragon.
There was a blinding flash of light.
They saw the flash.
And the ocean burst into flame.
And then radioactive ash fell on them for a period of hours.
Here, they were the first victims of the H-bomb, and we weren't even at war with them.
Japanese ship disasters puzzle world.
All of this was very much in the papers when Godzilla was in production.
In 1954, it was a major news story.
Terrible sea of fire engulfs all.
The opening scenes of Godzilla, which then opened in November of 1954, depict a Japanese fishing vessel destroyed by a nuclear explosion. There's no way the Japanese audiences were sitting there in the theater in November of 1954 and not remembering what had happened just months earlier with the Lucky Dragon.
What brought this upon us?
I don't know, Emiko. I don't know.
The bomb tests that release the monsters aren't Japanese bomb tests. There's never been a Japanese H-bomb. These are American bomb tests.
So while it wasn't explicitly stated anywhere in the movie that the Americans were to blame or anything like that,
there's this sense of somebody else's actions are then unleashing this gigantic terror which comes and attacks Japanese people for no reason at all. And Japan had been, for as long as Japan has existed, the target of any number of natural disasters, earthquakes and tidal waves.
Earthquakes just seem to be a huge part of the Japanese psyche.
They cause great damage that has no particular motivation.
You aren't attacked by an earthquake because you're a bad person or because you were exploring technology you weren't supposed to explore. It just happens. So there's this weird conflation between being the target of an atomic bombing and being at ground zero for a tidal wave. It's as if atomic bombs and hydrogen bombs and all of the political conflict of the Cold War is as much an external force of nature as weather patterns. Every culture has disaster movies that present in safe ways images of things we really don't want to experience. With the Godzilla movies, you had all of the allure of watching giant dinosaurs destroy cities, which is naturally going to be interesting. But then you had woven into the fabric of that all of the political context of the ongoing Cold War. All of that stuff was deeply worked into the fabric of what Godzilla was about.
An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world. There were once many people here who could have told of what they saw. Now there are only a few.
David Callett is the author of A Critical History and Filmography of Toho's Godzilla Series. You also heard the voices of J.D. Lees, editor of the Godzilla fanzine G-Fan, and of Chris Holland and Scott Hamilton, who run the website stomptokyo.com. Jonathan Mitchell produced our story.